is Juvenadiah Doubtfire here for another episode of Bowman's Breakdown. Oh, that was lame. Hey, everybody, how's it going out there in cyberspace?
Yeah, that was lame.
Or the internet, or, well, cyberspace is the same thing. Or your car, or maybe you're taking a jog and you got me on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever you're listening to. Whoever you are, wherever you're listening from, thanks again for joining me again. Mike Bowman here with another episode of Bowman's Breakdown. Another edition with my boss, the producer, Mike Jameson. How you doing there, buddy?
Fair to partly cloudy.
Fair to partly cloudy?
Yeah, that's a word for the week.
Yeah?
I feel good. I'm excited. Got a big week. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
I can't believe we're in October already. This is nuts.
I know. With football for us, God, we only got like four or five more weeks and it's over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for those of you who listened to the first episode of Bowman's Breakdown, just debuted Friday, September 28th. It's something that we've kind of had in the works for a while, and we're just getting this puppy going. We've had a pretty busy summer in here in T-Town with Toledo Sports Network, and like you said, man, we're already halfway through the football season already doing the local games here in town, and here we are in October, and we've got 4 weeks left of the regular season before you know it, we'll be into basketball, so... It's crazy, but for those of you who did check out the first episode with drummer Ray Luzier from Korn, I thank you
awesome
for that.
Stuff, man.
I'm excited stuff. Because it didn't take long for this show to get approved by iTunes, so I'm pumped up about that, and it's cool to finally get this puppy going, and got another Roadrunner Records artist for you today. I'm excited about this one. Just like Ray from Korn, this guy is also... a Roadrunner artist and really cool, and I got to give a shout out to Amy over there at Roadrunner too. She does the public relations stuff for those guys in addition to being a music writer for about as long as I've been alive, and she gave me the permission to go ahead to use these interviews and bring them to you fine people listening all over the world or wherever you're listening from. This one is with bassist Paulo Gregoletto from Trivium, and he was super nice guy, and we had the opportunity to talk. This one was back during their tour with Asking Alexandria, and they had a show. They came through Toledo for the first time in about 5 years, and I had the opportunity to do an interview with him while they were out on the road, and did a story for Toledo Free Press that I work for, and he was just a really nice, cordial guy, and I think what's cool about these guys is, you know, they've been a band now for almost 10 years. Well, their first record, I should say, came out in 2003. And these guys are all in their mid-20s, Mike. It's amazing. They've traveled the world. They've played everything from the Download Festival to headliners here in Toledo.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. They've really made a name for themselves. I mean, these guys had their first record out before they could buy a beer. So,
well, I haven't been on Toledo Live yet. See, we got to get them on Toledo Live.
Get some headbanging going on in there. But Paulo was really cool. He was a really nice guy. And we talked about the band. We talked about their latest record, In Waves. We talked about their tour, this tour in particular that they did with Asking Alexandria. And we talked about the summer. And obviously they were on Trespass America Festival this summer for those of you metalheads out there who are big Trivium fans. So, it was a lot of fun talking to this guy, and, I'm just so happy that I was able to get the permission to give this interview to you guys. So, without further ado, Mikey, I want to shut the heck up and, let the people hear this interview. So once again, everybody, this is Paulo Gregoletto, the bassist for Trivium.
This road been like for you guys? I mean, here you are now, Trivium's been a band for, you know, since 2003 when the first album came out, and five albums deep in 9 years. I mean, what's it like to have been on this road for you know, for yourself, even for about 8 years now?
It's been crazy. I mean, when we've tallied up like how many shows we've done in such a time span. I mean, you know, 6-7 years on tour is a long time, but it just amazes me that we've been able to do consistently 200 plus shows every album, and the demand is still there, and there's still places where, you know, going for the first time, and that's still exciting to us. I think that's the key to why we stay out here, is because we're still even though we come through a lot of places, like today we're playing the Norfolk, which we've played like 12 times, but it's still a killer place to come to. Fans keep coming out. Yeah, we're going to new places that we've never been to, so there's still that excitement, you know, touring.
What's this journey been like for you personally? I mean, I know you've been playing bass a long time, but how long has music been something that you knew you wanted to pursue?
I'd say probably when I got into high school, and I'd been in a local band for a couple of years, and I'd stuck with it, and it just was always so fun to play live shows and just watching, you know, VHS tapes of like Metallica or some of my favorite bands, just doing what they loved live and playing to all these people that, you know, admired them and wanted to be a part of that. And that just kind of like made me decide that I really would love to pursue it if I had the chance. And I was lucky that the summer I graduated from high school, it worked out to where I wasn't really doing what I wanted to be doing with the band that I was in. I had been in it for 6 years, and Trivium needed a new bass player, and it just worked out. It was like fate put us together.
Had you ever met any of those guys before, like Matt and those guys?
Yeah, we had done a couple of local shows in other parts of Florida, and we had, actually my mom at the time, when I was in a local band, she was kind of helping out, kind of helping to get shows, helping with the manager side of things. And Matt's dad was doing the same for Trivium. So it was kind of like we're both in bands doing similar things, you know, at different parts of Florida. So we kind of kept in touch just for contact of like maybe doing other shows together. And that's sort of how it worked out. It was crazy that the stars aligned like that. I mean, if anything would have been different, I mean, I wouldn't have been in Trivium. And, you know, it's hard to say, like, it's weird to think of it like that. Like, one thing could have been different, it would have just worked out differently, probably, for both us, you know, all of us in the band.
And the band you were in at the time, that was it Metal Militia?
Yeah, that was a band that me and Nick, who's our drummer now, we started that band when we were, like, 12. And, you know, me and him played together for, like, 3.5 years in that band, just learning what it took to be in a band, you know, working with other people, writing music. There were so many things I learned being in that band that really helped me to grow. So that by the time I got to Trivium, I mean, I hadn't been touring nationally or internationally, but I felt like when I got into the band, I wasn't totally just so new to it that it was overwhelming. I at least understood what it took to be in a band, and that, you know, I was a piece and puzzle, you know, and you have to get to learn, you know, going into a new situation, and you got totally different types of personalities, how to kind of work within that.
What was it coming out of Florida sort of in, you know, the early to mid-2000s? I mean, obviously, you know, when you're talking about starting Metal Militia, that was at a time when punk was kind of at its peak nationally, not just in Florida. I mean, what was it like to be sort of a metal band doing your thing?
When I started playing music, definitely pop punk was huge. I mean, that's what I was pretty much getting into when I started playing, and then when I kind of got into metal, I was sort of the only one at school that really listened to it. There was like me, Nick, and a couple of our friends maybe, but to be honest, it was just me and him that kind of stuck with the whole metal thing. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to see that it's become so much more popular and mainstream, which is amazing. I mean, a lot of the kids are getting into it now, and I mean, there's so many bands that have heavy influence in their sound, and to think back when I was in school, you know, there was nothing like that at all. Like, pop punk now has breakdowns and heavy at points, and it's like, it's just funny to me to think that, you know, people just totally thought of metal as like this, only older guys listen to that, and, you know, that's outdated, and playing fast stuff is never going to be cool or popular, and screaming and heavy vocals just never have their place in mainstream music. But I mean, it's definitely come full circle again.
What's it been like for you guys in Trivium? I mean, because you're 26, right? I mean, to have this success as young as you guys have had and to create the catalog that you guys have, I mean, to have five albums already and basically have toured the world, I mean, what's that been like?
It's been pretty amazing. I mean, that's not the only word I can use to describe going through all this stuff, making all the albums and all the touring we've done. It's just been an amazing life experience, and it definitely helps us to grow as writers and musicians doing all these things. I mean, we're a band that's always constantly writing, so to be out on tour, I feel the most inspired to write new music and just come up with new stuff, and just being around all these bands and stuff, whether it's friends of ours or bands we've never seen, it's just all really inspiring.
And that's something about you guys too that I've I think has been interesting is you know, a lot of bands just kind of stick from a touring aspect, they kind of stick with bands that are in their own genre, but you know, here you guys are, you're touring with Asking Alexandria, and even a few years ago on the Shogun stuff you guys toured with Slipknot, but that tour also had Coheed and Cambria. I mean, what's that been like to tour with bands that are kind of across the rock spectrum and the metal spectrum, and how do you think that's translated into maybe you guys gaining some more fans along the way?
I mean, I think it just makes sense to take every opportunity that presents itself, like this Asking Alexandria tour. I mean, a lot of people were like, wow, that's kind of different, or that's weird. And, you know, we thought that at first when we first heard about it, but then we thought, you know, here's this band who has, you know, struck a nerve with a new generation of kids getting into music. And if we were to be like, all right, well, maybe our music doesn't totally fit that scene of music, and just, you know, do some other touring or something that wouldn't have brought any people, it would have just been sort of a waste of time we could have been in front of a new audience. And the way I've always thought about this is like 30, 40 years from now, I want to look back and say, you know what, we did every single thing possible that we possibly could have done to get new people into our music, to build our fan base, and there's nothing I would change about what we did. And to me, like, turning down a tour like this because of not totally fitting the bill, that would have just seemed like a mistake. And we're playing to all these young, new kids, and it's exciting to be sort of a new band again for some people, and it's crazy. It's like we have five albums, and, you know, there could be kids that are coming out to this show that might have been born in 98, 99. I mean, it's literally like some people are that young, and I think it's great. I mean, for us, it's amazing. I mean, it's just a whole new impressionable audience that maybe has never seen a band like us, and maybe they'll get into us and get into other types of heavy music. I mean, that's what it's all about, is inspiring people to even play music themselves and join bands.
And what's that energy level got to be like? I got to imagine on a tour like this, it has to be pretty cool, because when you think back to, like, where you guys started in your respective bands to come back and play house shows and just sort of have that packed atmosphere when you go from playing like a Mayhem Fest or a Soundwave outside. I mean, how's that been?
Oh, I mean, I love the different dynamics of playing like a festival like Mayhem or Soundwave, and then coming here and, you know, playing right in front of someone and really getting it more in faces than you do at festivals. I mean, both things are awesome, because at a festival it's just a massive amount of people and the vibe is always just insane and people just want to go crazy. These kind of shows, I mean, the same kind of thing, but it's just different. I feel like the sound's always better inside of a club, and you have more of a captive audience. There's a little bit less going on. I mean, usually just one band playing, so, you know, you got the attention of 1,500 kids there watching you, and you get to do your thing for an hour. I mean, this tour's been great for us. I mean, we're playing almost an hour every night, so for a main sports slot, that's probably the most time we've ever been given. So we're pretty stoked that we get to kind of give everyone a little bit of a taste of, you know, some of the earlier Trivium stuff that they probably don't know about, and, you know, even a couple things from our new album.
Yeah, I mean, and in Waves, just listening to the record compared to Shogun, I mean, and even ascendancy. You guys have always, because I really do think that's a delicate balance for bands, is to kind of maintain your sound, but at the same time have every album offer up a different piece of what the band has to offer. And this one definitely seemed like it was more of like, I don't want to say a concept album, but every song seems to just flow into the next one. I mean, what was that process like within Wiz?
I think what made them kind of flow together well is that we just had so much time away from touring to actually rehearse at the warehouse and make sure everything felt very comfortable to play. Sometimes you don't have that luxury to rehearse that much before an album, but that was one thing we learned, especially when we did the Crusade. We really didn't take enough time to rehearse and prepare before the album. So we kind of learned the lesson of, all right, always make sure there's a good chunk of period, you know, where you can rehearse it, make sure it flows right, make sure it's, you know, as an album flows right. We were just playing it from start to finish before we even pushed record, and that was kind of cool to actually be doing that for a change, as opposed to like, all right, well, we'll write this in the studio, we'll write lyrics in the studio. I mean, 80%, 90% of like every song was done before we hit the studio.
And it seems like with this album too, just from reading up different stuff about how you guys made this and the thought process that went into it, it seems like you guys want everybody who listens to it to sort of take their own message away from it. As far as the artwork and everything, you know, it seems like listening to even Matt in interviews with you, like you guys, you didn't really want to explain it. You wanted people just to sort of take their own thing from it. I mean, how did that sort of concept develop with you guys in the band when you made this album?
I think it was just sort of like the past two albums, lyrically, were a little bit more direct. And I think Matt, you know, definitely made it a point to be more direct about, you know, what the meaning was. And I think this time we just sort of realized that, you know, having this beat to the album and the lyrics and the visuals this time, just, I don't know, just let people use their imagination a bit more. I mean, I remember as a kid listening to, like, Master Puppet, you know, that's my favorite album of all time, still to this day, and, you know, I like that you have to, you know, figure out what the meaning of the song is, and, you know, you're looking up interviews to see what the band guys thought about, you know, what the lyrics mean to them, and it was just so mysterious, and I love that. And I hope that within Waves, that people, when they hear it, you know, because Matt hasn't explained what he was writing about or what it means to him, they're having to use their imagination of what it means to them and what it could mean. And could there be multiple meanings? Is this a metaphor for something in his life, or could it be something in my life? You know, that's what I like about this album this time, is that we've just been very, I guess, quiet about what it means to us. I mean, I honestly don't know what Matt was writing about with half the album, and I didn't really inquire because I kind of just want to let the song mean whatever it means to me, you know, not know the exact meaning of it every single song.
And the album has done well. I mean, it debuted at number one on the Hard Rock Albums chart, the Rock Albums chart. It was in the top 15 on the Billboard 200. So, I mean, I got to imagine as a band that feels good to know that you guys can, you know, retain your sound, but at the same time try different things, and people seem to respond to it really well.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky we have a really solid fan base that supports the way we write our music, the way we kind of do things. I know that there'll be surprises here and there with our music, but I know that they trust that we're always going to put our all into the musicianship, and that comes first for us. And, you know, we're not jumping into becoming a pop band or something really way far out there. You know, we've always been rooted in heavy, energetic music, and I think that's really the goal for us. And we know who we are more as writers now. So I think every album from here, you know, we're definitely going to have the sound the four of us have come up with from, like, In Waves, all the albums that we've done in the past. You know, I don't think we're going to be, like, throwing huge curveballs here and there. But it is nice to experiment sometimes and not feel like you're shackled to one type of riff or one type of sound. It's nice to explore, at least for, you know, the musician side of ourselves. We like to try different things here and there.
I mean, you guys have toured, you know, the world basically, and you've toured with so many different bands, but what's it like when you know, you see Kirk Hammett on stage rocking a Trivium shirt, or you see David Draymond with, like, a Trivium hoodie, and
yeah.
I mean, how is that to, like, to, do you even try not to geek out in those moments, or do you just, like, I could have never even imagined this in my wildest dreams?
I just, you know, I really appreciate that all the hard work has led up to something that cool, to where, you know, a hero of mine would be wearing my band's shirt, and that's, like, the ultimate, I don't know, it's like, I mean, how to explain it, it's like the ultimate gratification for what we do, you know, to have someone that you admired and respected show you even, like, a little bit of respect for wearing your shirt, and the fact that they would watch us play or listen to our albums, I mean, that's really, it's an honor for us, and, I mean, that's, you know, worth more than anything, and money could never buy anything that cool, and that's why we do this, for moments like that.
I mean, and when you tour this much, Paulo, and you guys, you know, get your music out to so many different people, how do you avoid sort of, you know, sort of burning out or the pitfalls of just sort of exhaustion? I mean, how do you guys make sure that you keep yourselves up to snuff when you're constantly out on the road like this?
We all kind of have our own things that we like to do, I guess, on tour. I mean, for me and Matt, it's definitely, you know, we like to enjoy the local cuisines or, you know, maybe find a good bar here and there, you know, might have some good local stuff. That sort of keeps things interesting because every day is sort of a new experience, and it's something to look forward to and something to fill up your day with, as opposed to just sitting around on Facebook, you know, doing living the bus life and just being a hermit. I mean, every now and then it's just nice to just chill on the bus or chill in the venue and relax, but I think you really have to make the most of the touring experience. And maybe not everyone's into the food, but I mean, there's so many killer things to see all over the world that it's really a shame if you are afforded the luxury to travel the world and play shows and not to see something. I mean, that for me, it's like I want to say I've done everything, been everywhere, and, you know, when I'm 67 years old, I'm not going to be, you know, traveling the world. I'll be home just satisfied that I saw everything, did it while I could.
And one last thing before I get you off the hot seat, and thanks again, Paulo, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
To have this tour the way you guys have and have the success that that In Waves has had, I mean, how do, as a band, you know, where do you go from here? So you mentioned you guys are writing constantly. Are you guys writing right now while you're on the road?
Yeah, we have a lot of new songs written in the demo form on the laptop, so there's no, like, full band things, but it's like full songs, no lyrics yet, sort of starting to get the concept of what we want the next record to be like, and just, you know, conceptualizing those things. And we are booked up until December, and after that we'll start talking about the next record early next year and start the cycle over again. And, you know, right now our main focus is getting in front of any new audience that we can, and we got a lot of killer tours lined up, and one last big U.S. one lined up in the summer that's going to be pretty badass once it gets announced.
Well, Paulo, thanks again so much for taking some time with me today, man. I really appreciate it, and I hope the rest of the tour goes well for you and the show here in Toledo. Which, Toledo, have you guys, has it been a while since? I can't even remember
it's
the last show.
Like 4 or 5 years, maybe. The last I can remember. Next year was 2007, I think we were there at Lamb of God.
Okay. Yeah, because I think a lot of it's been, like, Detroit, Columbus, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to be getting back. I mean, we're stoked to play places that we haven't been in a while, and also just, like I said, new places. Even here in the States, I mean, there's so many towns and cities that you could tour for 3 years and not even hit it all.
Well, thanks again, man. I really do appreciate it, and have a great show tonight, and hope everything goes well in Toledo, too.
Thank you, man. Take care.
You too, Paulo.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that one as much as I did. It was great to get an opportunity to talk to Paulo, and especially Trivium. Those guys have been a band that I've been following for quite some time now, and I'm a big fan of their music myself. And it was awesome to get to do a story for Toledo Free Press. And once again, thank you to Amy from Roadrunner for letting me be able to get that interview out to you guys, as well as Ray from Korn. And, you know, Mike, it's always cool to talk to people who, you know, are at that level of success in their careers, and they're down-to-earth people, you know. It's cool to be able to get to talk to people, and you realize, like, they're just regular people too. Because every now and again, you do some interviews, you run into some people where, you know, they're really busy, they've reached a certain level of success, and you know, I'm just kind of another interview that they have to do in their day of interviews, and they get asked.
They just want to get it done.
Yeah, they get asked some of the same questions, and it's kind of just you know, wah wah wah, you know, and you know. Using guys like Paulo for this podcast, in terms of using the interview, those are the kind of interviews that I'm going to be giving to you guys, is, you know, opportunities where I got to talk to people who were, you know, really cool with me, open and honest with me. I mean, they were on the road, and I called them up, and we chatted for 20 minutes about everything that you guys just heard, about music, about metal, about Trivium, and about they're already working on their next record. I mean, these guys don't sleep, Mike. You know, Paulo's 26 years old, and it's, you know, dude's traveled the world.
That's incredible.
And gotten to, you know, meet some of his heroes and some of his musical idols. You know, Trivium, especially, a lot of those guys are huge fans of Metallica, which Paulo talked a little bit about in there, comparing In Waves to, you know, how they hope it kind of has that mystique to it, like Master of Puppets did for Metallica back in the day. And even cooler for them, Metallica's even rocked some Trivium gear on stage at some of their shows and stuff. Yeah, so how cool is that? You grow up, you're a kid, you listen to a certain band or a certain musician, you get to meet them, and they end up being big fans of the work that you're doing.
That's awesome.
And I think that's a big reason why these guys are so down to earth. You know, these guys are living the dream. They're all in their mid-20s, most of them. They're traveling the world. They've all known each other for a really long time. Came out of that Florida, you know, rock slash punk slash metal scene in the the turn of the century, and now they're getting to tour the world, and people really dig their music, and they always take an opportunity to get to new fans. And Paulo talked about that with the Asking Alexandria tour. A lot of people kind of were raising their eyebrows a little bit that a metal band was with sort of more of a screamo type of band in Asking Alexandria. But they got to go to some places they hadn't been to in a while on that tour. They got to do some you know, club gigs and things like that, and get back to places like Toledo where they hadn't been in a few years. So I had a lot of fun talking to them, and that's a big reason why I want to do this podcast. It's not just because I think I'm so super cool and so sexy.
Well, you got some great ins too, you know. I mean, you're in with some really cool people, and being able to do these kind of interviews it's awesome for you, and then, you know, for the people listening, being able to you know, get an inside scoop of some of these different artists.
Well, that's the goal for it too. I mean, you know, I try to put as much in print as I can, but at the same time, you know, when you do print journalism, you know, especially for a newspaper with ad space and things like that, especially with us at the Free Press, you know, we're a biweekly paper, we're a free paper. So, you know, there's a limit to how much I can say in my writing in terms of how long the story is. And I totally understand that. And so that's part of the reason why I want to do this, is so I can give you a more in-depth look at what the whole interview was like, and, you know, some of the other fun little details or stories that I didn't get a chance to put into print. And, you know, really, Mike, what I hope people get out of this is, obviously, I want you to be entertained, and I realize that I have kind of a specific audience with this, people who are fans of music, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But more than just being entertained, there's always a struggle or hard work involved for everybody that I talk to. And I think as human beings sometimes, not to get too philosophical here, because nobody wants to hear a 24-year-old from Northwest Ohio give life advice. But
boy, you're already learning that. Good job, Mikey.
but at the same time, like, I think in my short time on this earth, I've realized that the one thing that unites us all is struggle. Because when you think about life, that's the one constant for all of us. You know, good times come and go, bad times come and go, but there's always going to be some type of struggle. But the beautiful thing about that is that when you go through rough times or you have challenging moments, whether it's a career or, you know, family or whatever it is, and you go, man, am I doing the right thing? Is this working out? We all have that inner monologue that drives us crazy, especially me as a worrywart.
Know it all too well.
I overanalyze too much a lot of the time, and I've kind of learned to take things more in stride as I've gotten older. I'm still working on that. But in the words of Stuart Smalley, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. But from the great Al Franken. But
boy, you're on a roll today.
But to get back into what I was saying, like, you know, I think sometimes, Mike, we look at famous musicians. You know, we look at people like Paulo and Trivium.
Yeah.
And we see these guys who are in their mid-20s who are just rocking out all over the world. And they're at, you know, the red carpet for the, you know, Revolver Golden Gods Awards. And they're there with all these, you know, Zakk Wylde and Ozzy and all these famous musicians. And we kind of forget that, you know what, this is 9 years in the making for them.
Right, right.
This has been almost a decade for these guys. They were glued to their instruments when they were teenagers.
Yep.
They are nerds of music, and so for them, the hard work led to where they're at today.
Right.
And we forget that sometimes. We see famous people, and we think, oh, they just got lucky, or they had some type of sound that was cool at the time. And they no, these guys worked their butts off, and on top of it, they all seem to be really down-to-earth guys. Obviously, I don't know Paulo personally, but just from my conversation with him and seeing other interviews that he's done, he knows how awesome it is to be doing what he's doing, mm-hmm. because he's such a big fan of music himself, and he knows how great it is to get to do what he does for a living, and is very appreciative of all the support that Trivium gets. So that's what I hope people get out of this too. I want you to be entertained. I want you to enjoy the show. Obviously, you wouldn't be listening if you thought it sucked. And some of you might listen to this and go, God, this really sucks. And if you do, that's okay. You still listen to it once. But I hope people get that out of it, too. I hope for those of you out there who maybe are struggling, or maybe you are some kid from, you know, nowhere, Ohio, or, you know, Toledo, Ohio, you know, or the middle of, you know, Australia, or wherever you're listening from, you know, just know that everybody starts somewhere.
Yep.
And as long as you have a good work ethic, and you're going to probably need a little bit of luck along the way. You're going to need some people to believe in you. But as long as you believe in yourself, the world can be your oyster, man. You just got to figure out what it is that you're good at and what it is that you can contribute to the world. And so I hope interviews like the one that you just heard also inspire you as well as entertain you to realize that, you know what, I could be that 26-year-old bassist touring the world with my band if we are talented and we work our butts off. And, you know, we keep that dream in mind. So I hope you all get that out of this as well. And like I said, man, it's just I feel really privileged as a fan of music myself to get to bring this stuff to you guys and to write about it. And I'm still figuring out where the hell I'm going in this world, too. So if you're out there and you're confused, you know, ask Mike, man. He's been working his butt off now for all these years. And but you know what? You get to wake up every day and do what you're passionate about.
I'm doing what I want to do.
Exactly.
And it goes exactly back to what you were talking about with these guys who are 12 and 13 years old playing their instruments. When I was 12 and 13 years old, I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, I still got to play my sports and do my stuff, but I actually had my own radio station at 12 years old. And I knew. I knew. And, you know, and I was the nerd. I was the geeky, weird, tall, goofy guy, but I knew. And now, I mean, you know, I'm still not reaping the benefits other than the fact when I wake up in the morning or I sit outside on a beautiful night when we got a little fire going, I'm lighting a stogie. Wow, I've made my own bed, man. I've made every ounce of my bed now. So, but that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. So thank you for listening to episode 2 of Ballman's Breakdown. I had a lot of fun putting this one together with Mikey. And I want to make sure Yeah, we always do. We have a good time. I want to make sure I get...
We spend entirely too much time together, though. That's a scary thing now, you know, and it's always early in the morning, right?
Yeah. And I am not an early morning person either. When I wake up, I'm up. So I guess you could kind of say maybe I'm a morning person, but my problem is I work all different types of hours.
Boy,
so
I know that feeling.
I don't get my body never gets used to being on one schedule. But I guess if that's the worst of my problems, I'm... You know, gotta count my blessings. But I want to make sure I give some shout-outs to Trivium. Thank you again to Paulo. Thank you to Trivium for the music you make. Thank you to Amy once again. I cannot thank her enough for giving me the go-ahead to bring these to you guys, especially to kick this thing off. And I'm just so happy that Ray and Paulo weren't jerks to me and were really nice guys. You can follow Paulo on Trivium, at Trivium Paulo. He's actually very active in the social media realm and often retweets tweets he gets from fans and responds to fans on Twitter and does Q&As with fans on Twitter, always is posting different picks. Him and Matt from Trivium, wherever they go, Mike, they love food.
Oh.
And when they're on the road, as much as they are, you know, that was one of the things we talked about in the interview was, you know, how do you keep from, you know, just going into zombie mode? You know, you're in another town, and
right.
You kind of almost become like a three-ring circus. They're on the road so much. And he was like, you know, well, we try to find a local cuisine. We make sure we try to find a good spot to eat and stuff. So he's always putting stuff like that on Twitter. You can check out Trivium at trivium.org. They're going to be on tour almost through Thanksgiving. And they're in the UK right now. They'll be there until like the end of November. And then they're going to be in Spain and Portugal before they finally get to go home and figure out who their families are again and see those guys for the holidays. And then in the next year or so, I'm sure you'll be hearing more information about their new record. So keep an eye on them. And once again, keep an eye on us, ToledoSportsNetwork.com. As you learned in the first episode, if you listen to the first episode, I also do some broadcasting. And that's why I'm here with this this fine gentleman right here who gave me an opportunity to get into that realm, doing local high school sports.
Well, you do a good job, Bubby.
Well, thank you, sir, in my hometown. So ToledoSportsNetwork.com. Also, my paper that I work for, Toledo Free Press. You can go to ToledoFreePress.com /author/ M. Bauman, I believe it is, if you want to go directly to my stuff, or just go to ToledoFreePress.com and search my name and find my stuff. And I can also be followed on Twitter at M. Bauman 5. And I have some fun on there every now and again. I tweet some goofy stuff. If you haven't been able to tell at this point, I'm a little clumsy and a little weird and a little goofy and a little whimsical. But that's what makes this fun. So, once again, thank you for listening, everybody. And wherever you are and whoever you are, have a lovely, lovely day. And don't forget, keep the faith and be kind to one another. Peace.